knowing the love of God and the power of God in your life. And I want to know more. I don't know if you want to know more. I hope you do. I'm praying that you do. But I want to know more. And this passage will share keys in knowing more of the love of God. And I'm excited to talk to you about it. Now, before I get to this passage, I just want to set it up a little bit. I was strolling through memory lane this summer on July 20th. On that night, I knew exactly where I was 49 years before. That's a very uncommon thing, that I would know exactly where I was and what I was doing to the minute 49 years earlier. This is what I was doing on July 29th, 1969. I was watching this. I was watching in front of my little black and white TV that we changed the channels with our pliers. and we had rabbit ears. Some of you don't know what rabbit ears are, but we had that and foil on it to try to get a clear picture. Because I had to see this. This is the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my whole life. Man on the moon, Neil Armstrong coming down that ladder. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And putting his footprint on the lunar surface. Man on the moon. The pictures still amaze me that we actually sent somebody up there, more than one, people to the moon. It was a great adventure. And that is Apollo 11, the rocket ship there on the launching pad as it's blasting off. But can you imagine for a moment if it would have turned out differently? If mission control went into the launch sequence like this. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, stop! Stop! Who are we kidding? We're not able to send this rocket ship to the moon. Let's call this off. We don't have the power. We don't have the know-how. Let's do things that we just know how to do. Let's just stay in our comfort zone because we're not able to do this. Well, we would have missed the great adventure. We would have missed it. The man on the moon would not have happened. I meet people sometimes who kind of keep their life on the launching pad. Never get involved in the great adventure. May even go through their whole life not in it. Did a funeral here recently with a person who was a believer, but they never got involved. Stayed on the launching pad his entire life. And I thought, what a shame he missed the great adventure. I want to take you to a passage this morning that I think is so incredibly inspiring. Something that I think that we can look at and see what is there, the possibility, and to know that God is able. Here it is, Ephesians 3. Starting in the 14th verse. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. You see, Paul, getting carried along by the Holy Spirit here. I mean, that is one long sentence from verse 14 on through 19. Just one breathless sentence, just one thing after the next, he's carried along by the Holy Spirit to describe this power and to describe this love that is ours in Christ Jesus. He starts off like this. He says, for this reason. For what reason, Paul? Well, he's been writing to the church in Ephesus. In these first two chapters in Ephesus, he gives lots of reasons to fall to your knees and to give thanks. Reasons like this. You in Christ, your identity now in Christ, is that you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. You are chosen, holy, and loved in Christ. You are redeemed and forgiven in Christ. You were dead in your sins, and now you've been made alive in Christ. You are saved by grace, not by your works. You are His workmanship. You are His masterpiece. The Creator, His fingerprints are all over you. He made you as His masterpiece. His workmanship is shown in you to do good works. To do good works to become part of the family? No, you're already in. To do good works out of gratitude, out of joy, out of the fact that He calls you into the great adventure to share His love, to be part of His creation. These are amazing reasons, and so many more I could have listed here. But Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. There's something about that position, which I won't do on this hard floor, because my knees aren't that good. But to get down on your knees, it's a humble position. It's a posture of submission to the Father. In the ancient world, they didn't actually do it very often. They usually stood to pray. We see Jesus on his knees, right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, a moment of humility, submission to the Father. You ever have those moments? I've been on my knees for you this week. I know Pastor Mark does that, on his knees, praying for you. There's an old preacher on the radio, maybe you've heard him, J. Vernon McGee. J. Vernon McGee passed away a long time ago, went home to be with the Lord, I don't know what year, but long time ago, but they have all these recordings of him, right? So he's still on the radio. And I remember one day he was talking about the fact that he was preaching at an old country church one time. He had never been there before. And before he preached, he said, "Let us pray." And he closed his eyes, and he heard some rustling. He opened his eyes, and he looked up, and there was nobody there. He thought, wow, they just all left, you know. And he didn't know what to do. And he was silent there for a couple of seconds. Then he saw someone kind of pop up from behind one of the pews. And he realized they had all dropped to their knees to pray. It's powerful. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory. Now catch this. This is not out of His riches. This is according to His riches. And there's a big difference there. I'm trying to illustrate that for you. I don't know who the richest person on earth is anymore. Anyone know? Used to be Bill Gates, I think, right? Maybe it's, yeah, the people who inherited his fortune. That's probably it. If, say it again. Amazon guy, let's say you walk up to the Amazon guy and you've got some sort of financial difficulty and you know that out of his riches he could take care of that, right? And let's say that he heard your dilemma and he reached into his wallet and he gave you $10. You would be kind of underwhelmed, wouldn't you? Just like you are right now. $10 would be out of his riches, but it would not be according to his riches. Do you see what I'm saying? According to his riches, he could just cover the whole thing and way more than that. We're talking about God, his riches. He gives to you and to me according to his riches, his limitless riches. He gives you every spiritual blessing and more. According to the riches of his glory, he prays that he may grant you to be strengthened with power, power through his Spirit in your inner being. I think a lot of times we pray about external things, especially our body. Nothing wrong with that. We should. There's some sort of illness, sickness, pain. We can take that to the Lord. He cares about the details of your life. But do we neglect prayer about our inner being, our soul? Fundamentally, the most important part of us is our soul, which will last forever. The body is meant for a temporary situation, and it's decaying. It's not going to be with us. Your soul will be. Do you pray about your inner being? Do you pray about the people around you, their inner being, that they would be strengthened with power in the Holy Spirit, so that, and here's the reason, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. To dwell, isn't it amazing? Christ dwells with you. Now, the word for dwell there is actually the same as tabernacle. He tabernacles with you. Like the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there was a tent they would pitch in wherever they were in the wilderness at times. And God would be dwelling there with them, his presence with them. And now for us in the New Testament times, Christ dwells in your heart. What would make him at home in your heart? Well, these two things listed here, faith and love. Faith and love make him at home in your heart, that you have a solid faith, a trust in him, and that you would be rooted and grounded in his love, to know his love and to give away his love. Now, Paul, then, he prays this, that we would have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Saints are all believers, okay? In the Bible, whenever you see the word saint, it's just a believer. With all the saints, all the believers, that we would comprehend with all the believers what is the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love. The word comprehend here, the translators really had some difficult choices on what to put there. Because the word is katalambano. Katalambano is the word, and it does mean to comprehend or to grasp. But it's a sudden realization. It's like you understand this very suddenly. In fact, they use the same word for capturing, to be captured by. A surprise ambush would be a katalambano. Like, boom, you're walking along and boom, someone jumps out at you. And you know they're there. It's not a passing notion. You're walking along and you kind of, well, I know that Scott is sitting right there. No, Scott jumps out at me and he suddenly makes me aware of his presence. God in the katalambano of his surprising love will take you suddenly, that you would know him more, that you would know his love more, that there are these moments when you're going through life and boom, God shows his love to you in a supernatural way, in a deep way. Do you know what I'm saying? This goes beyond words, doesn't it? It's an experiential knowing of the love of God. That kind of comprehension, that kind of grasping that comes only by sudden realization. And to know what? To comprehend what? The breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love. The best visual that we can see for that, because we can't see in four dimensions, but this is four-dimensional love. The cross gives us that indication of how wide Christ goes to the cross. He is open to anyone who would come to him. He's willing to stretch his arms out wide on the cross and to receive anyone who comes in faith. And how long? Well, in Ephesians, in this book that Paul is writing, this letter, he tells us that before the foundation of the world, this was the plan. That's how long he has had you in view. And how high. That even right now, in this moment, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us. And how deep is his love. This is a picture in my home that I have to remind me of how deep. It's the word tetelestai, which is a Greek word that you find in John chapter 19, verse 30. In John 19, 30, Jesus is on the cross, and he says this word, translated in English, as "it is finished." It is finished. It also means paid in full. In fact, if you, in the ancient world, bought some property and you paid it off, if it was paid in full, boom, they would put tetelestai on a receipt for you. That's what Christ did. One of the dimensions of the 4D love of God is that he would pay in full your sin debt and my sin debt. You and I couldn't pay it. We are penniless in this equation. But out of his riches, out of his love, out of his sacrifice, he pays in full for you so that you can be made right with a perfectly holy God. That's why Christ is the only Savior. He is the only way, because he alone could pay this price. It is finished. It is paid in full. So these are four dimensions of the love of God. And Paul is praying that we would know more and more, that there would be this experiential knowing of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What? Now, look at that phrase again. To know what surpasses knowledge. Does that make sense? Well, yes, it does kind of fit in with this katalambano, this experiential knowing, that right now we know in part the love of God. I just know in part. I'm standing before you talking about this, but I don't have the full picture of it. I know more and more, and it's my prayer that I would know more and more, but I just know in part, and you know in part. And kind of the beauty of being in a church family is that you get to show each other what you know and experience it together. We can know more by experiencing his surprising love as we go through life, those katalambano moments, the surprising love of God. But we also get to know more of his love by giving it away. You know, that might be one of the best ways that God has for us to know his love is when we experience it, when he pours it into our life, that we would just give it away. There's no illustration that will really capture this, but here's my feeble attempt at trying to do it. God is pouring his love out into your life. This is your life, this cup. And he keeps pouring it out and pouring it out and pouring it out more and more, just overflowing. This would be an endless picture if I could really do the illustration. And it's good water. Filling you with his love. Filling you with his living water. And the picture fails because it doesn't end. It's more like that you would have your cup under that, you know, that you would just keep filling it up. And filling it up just for you? No. No. Filling it up so that in the overflow, you can share that with others. That his love could be spread from one person to the next, to the next. Do you get the picture? It's the surprising love of God that we cannot experience just by reading, as good as reading is. We experience it by being loved and by loving others. And that's what happens. To lead us to, really, these are two verses that are so amazing. And this is a new Bible, and I had to bring this one today because the one that I normally use has a hole right there on verse 20. And so I would get to the key part, and I wouldn't even be able to look at it in my Bible. Now to him who is able, do you know that he is able? He is the one who is able. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Think about that for a moment. Whatever it is that you can imagine, whatever it is that you can think or ask for, he can do more. According, not out of, but according to the power at work. And if we stop there, you'd just go, yeah, that's it. According to his power. But it doesn't say that, does it? The next two words are within us. That this one who is able, this loving, powerful God wants to bring you his power, power of his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, same power of the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. He wants you to know his power working within you to share with others this power and this love. And when that happens, glory to him in the church. I want you to meet somebody. Nick Vujicic is his name. Don't know Nick, but I've seen him speak. When Nick was born, and as you can see, he is limbless, he has no arms or legs. On the day that he was born, it took everyone by surprise in the delivery room. The doctor tried to hand Nick to his mother, and she declined. His father ran out of the room to go to the restroom so that he could vomit. And for 10 years, Nick thought about, is my life worth living? He was reading in Scripture one day that people were pointing him to Christ. People were loving him, pointing him to the four-dimensional love of God. And the katalambano, the surprising love of God, hit him, a sudden realization, a capturing. As he was reading John 9, this is what he said, I had a wave of faith and peace wash over me after reading John 9 when speaking of the blind man, so that the work of God might be displayed in my life. And Nick is on a great adventure now. And Nick, for many years now, has been sharing the good news of Jesus and the love of God with hundreds of thousands of people. And he disciples people. There was a time for many years that Nick said, Lord, if there is someone like me who is limbless but needs to know that they are limitless because of you, would you bring them into my life? And he didn't meet anyone for a long time, but about 5 or 6 years ago, a little boy was born with no arms and legs. And Nick flew to be with him. And Nick has continued to be in his life, a continual guide for him. Wanted to keep reminding him that God is able to make amazing things happen in your life. And you are loved. Not to him who is able to do far more abundantly. You see Paul's dilemma here? He's describing something that's indescribable. He's putting words together. This is one of the few places in Scripture I know of where you just put word after word after word just to try to come close to a description of something indescribable, far more abundantly. Maybe you've got a version that says exceedingly abundantly beyond. It's indescribable. Far more than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. May He be glorified in the church. This is you. This is your mission. It's a good mission. Christ gave us His discipling mission. It's the most loving thing we can do is to anywhere on that continuum of from a person who doesn't know God, who's very lost, to one who is discipling people. On that continuum, we are to make disciples. Jesus made it very clear. The most loving thing we can do is to share Christ with others. So if you do those two things, if you love people and make disciples, you're going to impact your community. And you are. My question to you personally is, are you on that mission? Have you stepped into that mission? It's easy to be on a launching pad and never go. I pray that the Lord would use you, use your life. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, may glory be His in the church and for Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for Your surprising love. I guess we shouldn't be taken by surprise by how deep and wide and high and long. But You continue to show us Your love. And I'm thankful for those catalambano moments where we see Your love in new dimensions and just see it freshly and to see it more clearly. I pray that You would use us, that You would empower us by Your Spirit in our inner being to show that great love of Yours to others that we encounter. People we know, family and friends, people we see each day, people that You will bring into our life. Pray that You would work through the mission of Bethesda, Your mission of loving people and making disciples. And I pray that You would use each one of us. I pray that we would know more and more and more of Your power and love. In the name of Jesus, amen.